Last night at 3 a.m., President Kennedy had been killed. Seaman Houston and the other two recruits slept while the first reports traveled around the world. There was one small night spot on the island, a dilapidated club with big revolving fans in the ceiling and one bar and one pinball game. The two Marines who ran the club had come by to wake them up and tell them what had happened to the president. The two Marines sat with the three sailors on the bunks in the Quonset hut for transient enlisted men, watching the air conditioner drip water into a coffee can and drinking beer. The Armed Forces Network from Subic Bay stayed on through the night, broadcasting bulletins about the unfathomable murder. Now it was late in the morning, and Seaman Apprentice William Houston Jr. began feeling sober again as he stalked the jungle of Grande Island carrying a borrowed .22 caliber rifle. There were supposed to be some wild boars roaming this island military resort, which was all he had seen so far of the Philippines. He didn't know how he felt about this country. He just wanted to do some hunting in the jungle. There were supposed to be some wild boars around here. He stepped carefully, thinking about snakes, and trying to be quiet because he wanted to hear any boars before they charged him. He was aware that he was terrifically on edge. From all around came the 10,000 sounds of the jungle, as well as the cries of gulls and the far-off surf, and if he stopped dead and listened a minute, he could hear also the pulse snickering in the heat of his flesh and the creak of sweat in his ears. If he stayed motionless only another couple of seconds, the bugs found him and whined around his head. He propped the rifle against a stunted banana plant and removed his headband and wrung it out and wiped his face and stood there a while, waving away the mosquitoes with the cloth and itching his crotch absentmindedly. Nearby, a seagull seemed to be carrying on an argument with itself, a series of protesting squeaks interrupted by contradictory lower-pitched cries that sounded like, huh, 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 and something moving from one tree to another caught Seaman Houston's eye. He kept his vision on the spot where he'd seen it among the branches of a rubber tree, putting his hand out for the rifle without altering the direction of his gaze. It moved again. Now he saw that it was some sort of monkey, not much bigger than a Chihuahua dog. Not precisely a wild boar, but it presented itself as something to be looked at, clinging by its left hand and both feet to the tree's trunk and digging at the thin rind with an air of tiny, exasperated haste. Seaman Houston took the monkey's meager back under the rifle's sight. He raised the barrel a few degrees and took the monkey's head into the sight. Without really thinking about anything at all, he squeezed the trigger. The monkey flattened itself out against the tree, spreading its arms and legs enthusiastically, and then reaching around with both hands as if trying to scratch its back, it tumbled down to the ground. Seaman Houston was terrified to witness its convulsions there. It hoisted itself, pushing off the ground with one arm, and sat back against the tree trunk with its legs spread out before it, like somebody resting from a difficult job of labor. Seaman Houston took himself a few steps nearer, and from the distance of only a few yards, he saw that the monkey's fur was very shiny and held a henna tint in the shadows and a blonde tint in the light as the leaves moved above it. It looked from side to side, its breath coming in great rapid gulps, its belly expanding tremendously with every breath like a balloon. The shot had been low, exiting from the abdomen.